Ah, this is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. But it is perhaps the end of the beginning.
Hello and welcome. The sound you heard is Canterbury Cathedral ringing its bells, as it and many other cathedrals and churches up and down the land have done continually since Friday evening, when there was a development. The Omni rumour inched forward. I'm joined to give a quick view on recent developments by Mike. Say hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
And Richard.
Hello, Tim.
Chaps, it seems a bit weird talking about this because for so long it's been talked about on virtual platforms in a very intangible sort of way, a theoretical sort of way, and something has happened.
Yes.
It's weird, isn't it?
All right, well, it is a bit weird. I mean, we haven't... Nothing big has happened, but something has happened, and we thought it might be fun just to chat it through for a short while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before we all get on with sticking on the Classic Who DVDs all evening.
We'll go to bed.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm washing my hair around 6:44. Probably have a couple of cigars in the garden and then, to bed.
Fair enough.
With the Silurians.
Okay.
Yeah, some of us have got alternative podcasts to run.
If anyone's tuning in to listen to this, and indeed if I get this edited and out in good time, check out 13cast. When are you sticking it out, Richard?
Well, if it goes really well, it might be tonight, but if it isn't, then it's probably be tomorrow night.
Okay.
Excellent.
So, what happened on Friday night, chaps?
Well, it was a bit of a surprise, wasn't it?
I'll say.
On Friday afternoon, I heard rumour on... Planet Mondas forum and also on Twitter that there was going to be an announcement on the One Show, and it was going to be something missing TV. So that got my radar going. And then later on, someone said, it's a comedy show that hasn't been seen for 50 years. And then it was made clear that this wasn't just something that sat in an archive for a while and no one's seen it. It genuinely had gone missing. So, you know, all of these things are increasingly getting the antennae twitching. But even so, you know, I wasn't that excited, but I thought since it got round to about 7 o'clock and, you know, I had nothing, you know, more interesting to do, I switched on to the One Show. And then immediately there's Phil Morris in his full Indiana Jones get-up with film cam, and they're playing Bring Me Sunshine in the background.
Did you feel that Phil Morris was looking into your soul when he stared at the camera for that good long fixed 30 seconds?
Yeah, it was slightly.
Did you feel
awkward.
He was wondering if you'd said nasty things about him on the internet?
Oh dear, I've always been quite nice about Phil Morris. I'd say. I mean, I'm not being totally nice, but I think I've been on a nice.
Whoa! You know, no one's saying you have, Richard. Sounds like a bit of a guilt complex to me.
One of us has to be Richard.
Whoa, Richard, your protests
Your
too
Honor,
much.
Your Honor.
And so what happened then?
Well, nothing for about 25 minutes. I mean, of course, Twitter went a bit mad because it's Phil Morris. He's on the One Show. Mostly that was me, of course. But, of course, the One Show then did what it always does, which is go off and do a whole load of other things totally unrelated. And then just about, you know, 20-odd, maybe 25 minutes later, they finally come back to Phil Morris on the sofa. And at that stage, he goes off on, you know, one of his typical guided tours. I mean, he mentioned Steptoe. I don't think we've, you know, that's the first time we've heard Steptoe. But, and he said, you know, that he'd completed the run of Black and White or something along those lines. He talked about the rag trade. He mentioned Basil Brush again for perhaps... Well, I mean, he's mentioned that on and off for the last 5 years. But it sounded a little bit more solid, like we were actually getting it back this time. And then he mentioned a few places he'd been to as well. And again, that was a nice, familiar run of places that you know, get art.
You called it on Twitter an Omni Room of Greatest Hits.
Yes, that's how I felt. So we had
Singapore,
Hong Kong, Africa, very generally.
Hmm.
I didn't mention Australia, surprisingly, considering its role in the rumor mill. But anyway, Hong Kong's good enough.
Yes, and then at the end they played the clip of the season 1 episode 7, was it, Chan?
Yes, one with Michael Aspel, I believe.
Season 1 episode 7 of Morecambe and Wise, and Alex Jones, one of the co-hosts, at the end just rolled in that it was found in Sierra Leone.
I mean, that was basically the moment that got me interested, really. I mean, everything up to that point had been kind of, you know, so much, you know, what we've heard before. But, I mean, you know, obviously we know he's been to Sierra Leone. You mentioned it in Grumpcast 4, that there's pictures to prove it. But, yeah, interesting that that he'd obviously told her just before they cut back. I mean, they were running out of time. It's classic one show. They've got a 28 or so minute slot. And inevitably, you know, at 27 and a half minutes, it's kind of, you know, finish this one quickly. So she didn't give him another chance to speak, really, other than just to confirm that indeed Sierra Leone was where he'd found this thing, and then that was the end. And they're sort of zooming out. Yeah. But yeah, that was
that noise you made, was that the Sierra Leone klaxon?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh right, I was just checking you weren't summoning Vikings.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do have Viking heritage, I think, but you know, that wasn't particularly what that was.
I know the Winston Churchill opening was a little bit pretentious, but I don't think we're as far as summoning your Viking ancestors yet.
No.
And then over on the Missing Episodes forum, where Paul had prompted the one show appearance, he gave some clarifications.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. So I found out about this a long time after all of you, of course. I woke up and discovered this had gone down, and it's like, oh, what? And I spent most of yesterday morning running around trying to work out what it was. And then I went over to the Missing Episodes forum, and there are several posts by Paul, which were of great interest. And he clarified what had been found. There were actually two episodes of Morecambe and Wise, episode 5 and episode 7.
And then, and then did Phil confirm that himself on Twitter?
Yes, I think he did.
Yeah. So yeah. I think the sequence was Paul released a thing saying three episodes. You know, the Morecambe Wise one, the Steptoe one, and the Rag Trade one. And then Phil says on Twitter, yeah, two episodes of Morecambe and Wise, at which point Paul says, oh, okay, well, in that case, it's this one and it's this one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tempting to think of Paul Venesis being the puppet master back at, you know, wherever it is he hangs out, thinking that he's got everything under control. But you know what Phil Morris is like. Nothing is ever quite, you know, how you expect. And it kind of felt to me like Paul wasn't ready for Phil to have mentioned that the Morecambe and Wise came from Sierra Leone either, because it felt like he was a bit on the hop when someone said, Sierra Leone? Did they all come from there? And he's going, I don't know where they all came from. Phil doesn't tell me these
echoes
things.
Echoes of, when was it, 2011 or 2010,
yes.
When Paul talked about the sky at night being found with a private collector,
yes.
And then the BBC put it out that it was found in a TV station in Africa.
Yes. Yeah.
And there was some backtracking. Okay, and what else did we learn on Missing Episodes Forum, guys? Anything?
Well, there's quite a bit, actually. Paul later clarified that the Rag Trade episode, which Phil really just sort of said in the background, as if some sort of like, oh, yes, there's a by the by, he confirmed that it was, he wouldn't say what episode it was, although he knew the title, but he hadn't actually looked at the episode, he said. And it was a series 3 episode, of which that whole series is actually missing. He also...
Just an observation on the Rag Trade. I'm a bit confused as to whether what we've just said about Morecambe and Wise, are there more episodes than we know about? There was one more episode that Paul was prepared to talk about, so we could sort of imagine that there's more.
Yes.
But then he's only announced one random episode of The Rag Trade of a season that is entirely missing.
Yes.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Mike.
Then Paul, he spoke about the Steptoe episode being a 16mm tele recording of an episode of something No One Likes a Tory or something, I think the episode's called, that only existed in a rather poor copy, like an extremely poor copy from what I can gather, which was a videotape thing, and it's got tram lines and stuff.
Is it My Old Man's
Tory? Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I was just thinking about Boris Johnson there. Anyway, so then he went into some sort of technical details about the two Morecambe and Wise episodes, saying that they had chroma dots in them and that he'd done some testing, some preliminary testing at least, and that the colour, whatever it is that they do, had worked, and he was very confident that they would be colour recovered. And he also spoke about the Basil Brush episode, which he also put the transmission data. It's episode 3 of the first series with Mr. Rodney Buse. And he talked about that was actually the one that had the most difficulty in actually fixing because it had some issues. So the more work was involved with that one. And in fact, later we saw pictures, a picture that Phil actually tweeted of part of the, it looks like the end credits of the episode being restored. Certainly the picture on the left is much better than the picture on the right.
I mean, it must have needed a lot of work because it's taken 5 years.
Yeah, obviously. Not as much as episode 2 of Morecambe and Wise. That's taken 6. There's still nowhere. But yeah, so I thought that a lot of what Paul posted was actually quite interesting. And yeah, it seems to me that there was a lot of scrambling and clarification after the fact. Phil certainly then tweeted quite a bit. He sort of also tweeted about Basil Rush, because he got a tweet from Basil himself, and said that there's more Basil to come. And that was a heavy hint. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And surely he wouldn't disappoint Basil Brush, would he? Like, that's reprehensible. So...
Did he say lots more Basil Brush to come?
Lots more exciting news for you, Basil, to come. Stay tuned.
Well, that sounds like lots more Basil Brush.
Yes, which is good. I'm happy about that. I loved Basil Brush when I was a kid. So,
yeah, some takeaways and some discussion points. Alex Jones at the end of the segment said, and hopefully you'll be able to see this very soon. Something like that.
Yeah, mentioned about restoration. And then,
that's right. And then Steve Roberts this morning on Gallifrey Base apparently talked about that the Morecambe and Wise thing is a big deal because the BBC is preparing stuff for a 50th anniversary celebration at Christmas.
Well, I mean, I can give you the exact quote if you want.
Sure.
It's the 50th anniversary of Morecambe and Wise at the BBC this year, and they're preparing to celebrate that at Christmas. Two newly recovered episodes from that first BBC series is very big news indeed. I can't think of many other archive TV recoveries that would seem to be important enough to warrant a slot on The One Show, apart from Doctor Who and Morecambe and Wise.
So that's interesting, because we've got it from the horse's mouth that it's only big stuff that will be on The One Show. And Phil's been on The One Show, and he's said about one episode of Morecambe and Wise, and then he's also reeled off some other titles of lesser significance. Mm. Not insignificant, but of lesser significance.
Yes.
A sort of open-ended question, and it's by no means... It's not heavily suggestive, but if Paul has he stated that there are more episodes with the BBC still to be announced. If it was lesser stuff than the Morecambe and Wise episode or episodes, why didn't he, and he just handed it over, why didn't he reel it off on The One Show?
Well, that's true, I think. And it's,
you know, half a series of United or...
Gnomes of Dulwich.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not in their nature to give everything at once, is it? You know, everyone likes to have a little bit of a surprise to hold back.
You also have, you know, like the timing. It was Friday, and you know what? Yeah, from a BBC perspective, and about the things that we're interested in, you know, that type of thing.
The timing is interesting as well, because
why aren't the episodes completed? Because the I haven't seen the clip, I'm assuming that it's a black and white thing. Somebody mentioned that it looked like it had chroma dots. So they haven't restored it.
It's nice and clear, though. I mean, it looks all right, that.
It is lovely, yeah.
So I think that one might have been restored.
But it sounds very much as it's happening. It's almost as if it was handed over Monday this week, and they've gone, oh, well, let's get you on the one show.
Yeah, it does.
What is the driver for Phil being on the one show with this clip? I don't really understand it, and I wonder if he asked to be on it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Brian Blessed's car needed to go into the garage or something, and a slot opened up. So that's an interesting question. Why would he be on it?
Good question.
I was fretting somewhat publicly last night.
I mean, Paul Venezis is kind of semi-connected still at the BBC as a sort of TV producer, director. I mean, he might, you know, have been spoken to somebody who's and said, well, you know, if you're short of something for any of your programmes, Phil happens to be in London this week, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, so that's a possibility.
Look, the BBC did do a very small celebration of Morecambe and Wise, which they released those 144 photographs on the 2nd of September, which is the actual anniversary. And then a month later, we get two missing episodes. Like, why not back then? Which would be more...
Well, the particular show is within a week of its 50th anniversary of broadcast. I don't know if that helped the selection.
But I'm thinking, like, any episode from that series, none of which exists apart from a truncated version, I think, which is on my DVD set. It just seems, why not then, when they did the photos, it's like...
Well, Morecambe and Wise is a funny seasonal concept these days, because Morecambe and Wise is only celebrated and popular...
At Christmas. Okay. See, that's the thing that I'm forgetting.
Morecambe and Wise now only goes out at Christmas. I don't know how often they've rerun it. I remember a rerun of some black and white episodes in the 90s, because I loved them. But I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't follow the TV schedules. But if you ask any single person in England, in the UK, when is Morecambe and Wise on? It's Christmas. Oh, okay. They rerun those Christmas specials again and again and again and again.
Okay, that makes sense.
Well, I had a bit of a wobble. I am still having a little bit of a wobble on. He's got this massive platform now, and you don't easily get onto the one show, which is the biggest sort of popular platform you could have on TV. Mm-hmm. Prime time, 7 o'clock. It's a real, you know, family tune, and it's very popular. Mm. I'm having a bit of a wobble on why he would appear on that, and then if there is more stuff to come, why wouldn't he have used this big opportunity now to talk about something else? And then, okay, you could say that the BBC are working on The Abominable Snowman to release once the Doctor Who kerfuffle is out of the way with the launch of the new series. But then I find it very counterintuitive that Phil Morris would go back and tweet about Missing Believe Wiped at Christmas and say there will be more announcements then.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So I'm a bit back and forth with it, but it is extremely promising that the BBC has yet to make more announcements.
Yeah. So I guess my feeling on it is that, you know, I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but it does feel to me that at least there's movement, and we might hear what the story is. So even if it doesn't end up being loads and loads of missing Doctor Who returned, it might be that at least we discover that we find out the extent of what he has discovered over the years, rather than being in this limbo.
Yeah.
Well, I think logically it must be piecemeal, whatever he's handed over. I don't think this is the end.
No.
It might be the beginning of the end. Because he's already made a couple of noises saying he's got another copy of the season one, episode two, Morecambe and Wise, that was restored. And he hasn't announced that now. So it suggests to me, perhaps, that he's now being able to access a couple of countries' material, maybe, possibly, and a tranche is coming over.
Right.
And hopefully there'll be more to follow after that. That's the suggestion to me, based on that one small logical gate about Morecambe and Wise.
Mm.
But, I mean, theoretically, and it is theoretical, if there is more BBC announcements to be made, and they haven't used this enormous platform that they've got on the One Show to announce it. One might speculate that on Monday last week, he handed over the Abominable Snowman. And they're not going to announce it until it's restored and ready for release. And it takes 2 weeks an episode. And therefore, he could possibly announce it with big press coverage at Missing Believe Wiped, and we get it in the new year or something.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel as if the BBC would want to make a big announcement about Missing Doctor Who the day or 2 days before their new series is about to launch. It's a bit of a confusing bit of marketing.
I can't see them doing that, no.
But it has to be quite a current situation, because Paul's talking about, well, I haven't seen that film, and I haven't seen that film.
It's obviously an ongoing thing, and it's happened fairly recently.
And if it's just been handed over, if it's been handed over, if something has been handed over, they couldn't restore it in time to get Dad's Christmas present. Could they?
No, but they could restore it in time for it to be shown on BBC Two or whatever on Christmas Day or wherever it's shown.
Oh, don't get into that again. I was just thinking about what they had to say about Web of Fear being released on BBC Four for the 50th or something. I can't remember the exact truth of that one.
Yeah. It hasn't been found. Yes. Fully found and restored or something
It can't be shown. Yeah.
And so, interesting. And there is no indication whatsoever that there is any Doctor Who.
No.
But two key takeaways. One, on the 4th of December 2013, Matthew Sweet in The Telegraph wrote a piece about Phil Morris. And he talked about the recovery of the 1960s Basil Brush Show, featuring the Kinks.
Yes.
And Phil had presumably told him about that in an anecdotal way, saying, I've got it. Mm-hmm. The 4th of December 2013.
Yes.
Therefore, this material has been sat on for at least 5 years, and maybe longer.
Yeah.
And then secondly, Sierra Leone. The material was found in Sierra Leone. Now, very, very keen not to run away with any sort of mad conspiracy theories on this.
Yeah.
But Sierra Leone.
Yes.
When we look back at the what happened in 2013, there were rumours flying about all this material. And over the years, one of the biggest drivers for people saying there is nothing in it is that Phil would have handed over stuff by now.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it's October 2018, and Phil has handed over something that we know he has had for at least 5 years.
Yep.
Sierra Leone, we know he was there in 2012.
Yeah.
We know he's done work with the station.
Mm-hmm.
So while that doesn't absolutely kick open the door for the Omni rumour, I dare say a little bit of light is shining round the edges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you agree?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my thought on it is that, as you were sort of suggesting earlier, you know, one of the issues has been that we've had this impasse for 5 years where nothing has happened. And, you know, the fact that now more stuff is being handed across, that more Quinn Wises, suggests that if there was any kind of a problem between Phil Morris and the BBC, and we don't know that that was the case, there may never have been a problem, but if there was a problem, then it would appear that that problem has gone away. So that's good news.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, if there's anything else that he's got to return, that he should be able to return it. So, you know, that,
yeah.
I think that there's a blockage that we might have thought was there that certainly doesn't appear to be there now.
Yeah, that's certainly a takeaway that I have.
Yeah. Sierra Leone, I don't know whether it's worth discussing it. I've already seen on the forums people cranking up lists of what was there.
Yeah. Did you see my response to that?
It's like, will we never learn?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the thing that I would want to say about Sierra Leone is just that it's been the source of so many different stories. So in the same way that Joss, you know, has been told about five different times in five different ways, it's the story that Paul Venezis and Phil Morris can't seem to get straight between themselves. Mm. You know, so Paul Venezis is absolutely adamant that the material was there until 1999, where it was destroyed in the middle of the Civil War, and Phil Morris is absolutely determined that the material was only there until 1974, was shipped off to London, and whilst there was an explosion in Sierra Leone, it couldn't have got the Doctor Who stuff because it wasn't there.
When I said Sierra Leone had been checked and there was nothing there, I didn't mean, but just maybe something survived in the rubble. I meant what I said because I know the facts, so I'm not being indifferent, just realistic. Sierra Leone is a place which has been crossed off the list.
Yeah.
Look, the potted history is, in 2012, after an article in The Guardian, a comment suggested that there were still stacks of tapes in Sierra Leone. Tapes was the word used. Mm. It got onto the Missing Episodes forum. Paul then became very passionate and very terse and very dismissive of the notion that anything could be found in Sierra Leone. Mm-hmm. And that is on the basis that, first of all, he said that the TV station had been blown up. That's not true. And then there was a slight change of story that the facility in which they were storing the Doctor Who episodes was blown up. Then a daring young forum poster in 2013... shone some light on what had been blown up and what hadn't been blown up, and there was no evidence in large lists of SLBC buildings that had been destroyed that a particular shed had been destroyed. There was an antenna here, there was the famous, now infamous, Sierra Leone gramophone library that was destroyed. And then John Preddle on Broadcast did a lot of work trying to piece together exactly what's happened, and it's all there to see, and it's a really good piece of research. So there were unequivocal statements that everything in Sierra Leone had been blown up.
Yep.
And that there were certain the prints were there. And then there is this hearsay story of the savages being screened in the 1980s. And by the various little plot points that have come through in this story, they've established it's the savages, or that's somewhat doubted by John Preddle.
This is Monster Pelodon, yeah.
Yeah,
but they've been banging this drum, saying it's definitely the savages. And then out of the blue, Phil Morris turns up and says, yes, there was a building destroyed. The rebel leader blew it up so that the United Nations couldn't get footage of him committing war crimes. But that all the films were shipped out in, all the Doctor Who films were shipped out in 1974. Mm-hmm. And then Paul on the forums was caught a little bit wrong-footed. Ironically.
Again.
And he ended it. So what Paul said was about the new information was they were talking about the savages being screened, and he said the information was a first-hand account of a screening which described what we all decided must be the savages. John Preddle had another theory. It could have been the Monster of Pelodon. But looking again at the description, I feel sure it was indeed the savages. We know that some film material was still there very late, and if Phil says he has records that things were sent back in the mid-1970s, I'm sure that information is correct. But we're talking about Africa here. We know from Nigeria that nothing can be truly ruled out. What does that mean? So, let's not forget that the SLBC had various buildings, various little, not in a Nigeria scale because it's a much smaller Sierra Leone, but there were various buildings. There were two broadcasting houses. There was a film store in one of the broadcasting houses. There would have been cupboards galore. There was a room full of junk that was cleared out. So it's possible something was found in Sierra Leone, but we know for sure that material was found, non-Doctor Who material was found there.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's a little ray of light there.
Yeah, and I guess also it's the first indication that anything has been found anywhere other than Nigeria, you know, by Phil Morris, because everything that he's revealed so far,
the first proof,
has always
inverted
been,
commas proof,
has always come from Nigeria, at least as far as he's told us.
And one of the comments Paul made on the Missing Episodes forum was that he doesn't believe that that all the material came from the same country that has been handed over or is in the process of being handed over now. And he also pretended, I infer yeah. that he pretended, oh, well, I didn't ask Phil about yeah, where it's right. from. Yeah. So, you know, I just said, whatever, mate, you know. not interested, yeah. not bothered. Mm. Which suggests to me he didn't need to ask. Mm. So there we are, yes. chaps. Any more?
No, well, I think that, you know, with the Sierra Leone situation, that at some stage they really need to state exactly what happened. I think that it keeps shifting around, and I think everybody's sort of twigged that there's something going on, and they just need to sort of say, okay, this is what happened. Why they haven't said that or used the one show for a quick opportunity, maybe didn't have time or was caught on the hop, but or they didn't clarify afterwards, I think that there's probably something else. But yeah, I think at some stage, and probably sooner rather than later, they probably need to sort of clarify that, because it's just getting a bit, we may never
be told what actually happened in Sierra Leone. We might be told what happened in Sierra Leone, yeah. though. If you follow what I mean.
About four or five times in slightly different versions, I expect. Mm.
Yeah. Because I've heard a little rumour that the narrative given for Joss isn't entirely internally consistent.
Yes.
Really?
CF. Really, yeah. Yeah, CF, half my forum post from about 2016. Mm. So, chaps, to wrap this up, we are going to use the internationally recognised measuring system for omni-rumour hopefulness. Mm-hmm. Which in 2013 was the Chumbly.
Oh, yeah.
But because I can't think of a convincing sound effect to plug in, we're going to use the now internationally recognised Lupton-O-meter.
Okay.
So who wants to go first? And what you're measuring here is your certainty out of 10 whether there will be some Doctor Who announced between now and Christmas or shortly afterwards.
Okay.
And when I say shortly afterwards, I mean within a month.
Okay.
So, Mike, you first. There's three, four. Ooh, is that... That is six. Six out of ten. By golly, that is positive.
Yeah, yeah. Positive vibe from Australia.
I have to be positive.
Ooh, six out of ten. Richard?
Ooh.
Oh, one, three, four. Oh, five. Five. Hmm? Well, that's very... I'm guessing you vote Liberal Democrat. here we go. Here's me. Yeah, just a four, I'm afraid. But, you know, that's better than a zero that was... before Friday.
Yeah.
True.
I dare say there might be some tens if we widened it out. There was certainly some mopping up that had to be done on the forums after a few people exploded. But there we are.
Clean some quite unlikely characters.
So that's it from us. I hope that's a measured review of what's happened in the last couple of days. Don't forget to check out Richard, Mike and friends. Paul Morris reappears from the Grumpcast 7 on 13cast, which will appear at some point after the first episode is broadcast tonight. You'll hear from the Grumpcast proper in a few weeks, unless something else happens in the interim. So, Mike, Richard, thanks very much. Say goodbye.
Bye!
Guessing you vote Liberal Democrat. I'll miss that out, because so do I.